On the show today, we have Backbase's very own Vincent Besmer. He's on the show talking to us about how credit unions are working to meet the needs of younger members through digital innovation. Yet another fascinating conversation with Vince. So check it out. Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Backbase's very own Vincent Besmer. Vince, how are you, sir? Good to see you again.
Yeah, same here. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Better now that you're here because we get to talk about a pretty cool topic here, how credit unions are working to meet the needs of younger members through digital innovation. And this seems to be top of mind for just about any financial institution out there. And yes, you guys are kind of basing this off a report that BAI did as well. So I want to set the stage here real quick here, Vince, because according to BAI's, their top banking trends and challenges for 2022 report, less than half of Gen Z and millennials use the same financial institution as their parents. And this was taken in 2021. So that's a pretty drastic number here. And that's a significant drop compared to 61% of Gen Z and 54% of millennials in 2020. So a big change just in a year. So what does this mean for financial institutions, credit unions in this case, going forward here? Get your take just off the bat here.
Well, I think there are two parts. There's one part about just how do you market yourself in, just generally out there. I do think that younger generations simply don't fully understand what the credit union proposition really is.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think that is absolutely something. And that's even more remarkable that Gen Zs care more about things like sustainability and, ethical investments and all that type of stuff. And that should be almost like the same language a credit union is basically about, right? So I think there is, in the communication and marketing side, there's definitely something to be gained there. Mm-hmm. It's obviously also hard when you're outcompeted in marketing dollars by, for instance, these big tech brands starting banking functions. But on the other side, if I take a look at my local credit union, they're still pushing their standard products on their billboards and all that type of stuff, right? So mm-hmm. I think there is an opening to kind of redirect a little bit of that communication more to education mm-hmm. and why community sense banking is the right way to go for the younger generation. So I think that's one thing for sure. The other part, and this is it's getting a little bit frustrating for me being in this market for so long, is that smaller institutions, financial institutions, still don't really start to understand that younger generations care about self-directedness. And that's a pet peeve of mine that I've been preaching now for about two decades. Take a look at an airport.
Yeah.
How many people are still talking to each other, right? You see them all looking at their phone.
Yeah,
look at a party. Look at your own kids when you take them out for dinner, right?
I know.
They live on their phone. So you need to be there where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to understand that some of those younger generations, they don't even like conversing with people anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's also... And that's, I think, a little bit the conundrum. You're a full service financial institution and you see these new entries in the market kind of nibbling on these little individual services that you have been offering.
Yep.
Well, why? Because these services that they have created, they just work, right? There is no human interaction.
Right.
The long tail of issues is basically being taken care of programmatically or at least in some self-help function.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to talk to people anymore. That's why they're successful. And you can also imagine if you extrapolate that into full service, that's mm-hmm. where they're going to run into the same issues that you're running into.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a current financial full service financial institution, you need to make sure that you understand what is the long neck of my services, banking service, lending services, but also what is the long tail of issues that can arise there. And the more that you automate that, now you're creating a tit for tat choice
mm-hmm,
you can
mm-hmm.
offer to your members to basically say, hey, for this, I want to go into the branch. For this, I want to do it digitally online or maybe through a chat function. And I can move fluidly across these different channels. So mm-hmm. I think, be where those younger generations are, understand that they need to, some form of a social element to a socially responsible element to where they bank, and also take care of the self-directive needs that the younger generations have. So that's my response to that one.
I couldn't agree more. And you look just outside of our industry into the retail environment. You look at like an Uber or an Amazon. How many times do you talk to a person in either of those entities? Rarely, if ever, or never. So, and they've built those platforms to allow for that, right? I mean, it really empowers the the consumer to do everything on their own. And yep. So why can't your bank or credit union do the same thing? And many are, but it's just, there's still some work to be done in that area, I think. So, yeah. So
yeah, absolutely. There's a lot there that could be completely.
That's a whole separate show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's take it to the next level here. So what steps does a financial institution need to take to properly meet the digital expectations of that younger audience? And the word empowerment comes to mind first. So, I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, I don't want to be a broken record, but I think you need to understand a little bit better how do your values match with the Gen Z values, for instance, and how can you communicate that, right? So let's take that and put that to the side, because that's a topic for marketers and CMOs to understand go-to-market strategies. But more on the technology side, if you're still dealing with disjointed systems, you cannot offer the same experiences across these channels. So that's your number one priority, because you can have access to all the data in the world. You can have sophisticated workflows. You can do whatever you want as a financial institution. But if there is no orchestration across all these channels, where your members basically can do the same thing across these channels, then you already lost the battle, right? So I think that is the first big investment that you need to make. Mm-hmm. And you also need to take a page out of the playbook of some of these successful institutions. And being successful has nothing really to do with how good your services are. It is how good you are when there is friction. Right? And I think that is super important. When you as a financial institution can continuously monitor what people are using, what they're not using, and not with the trivial, hey, do you want to do an interview with us, or do you want to fill out this questionnaire? Mm-hmm. No, but like really look at it and what is your what data do your applications give you? Yeah. What data, technographics, demographics about what your people are actually or your members are actually using? Make sense of that, right? So that's not a big data project. That is not, an investment of multiple millions of dollars. What it means is that PwC has Customer Link. That's an amazing demographic database. You mm-hmm. can get a pretty cheap subscription to that. You can take what your log files of your applications, and you can sit there and basically talk to your own staff. Like, where are the friction points? And this is my real point. Once you know the friction points, mm-hmm. you then have the fortitude, the flexibility, the investment power to fix these friction points and across different channels. And that growth is what eventually gets you to that level of what these mm-hmm. newer entrants in the market are doing, or even what a JP Morgan Chase is doing. And see, a JP Morgan Chase has the benefit of having millions of customers. So if there is an issue that arises with, however it arises, mm-hmm. those first 10 customers that are upset with you, if you act on that, right, you may lose them, but you get data that you can act on and you can save the rest of your population.
Yeah, the other 100,000 for sure.
Yeah, exactly, right? But if you are a 10,000 member institution and you're not looking at it, and 10, 100, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 of your members go through that friction point and you haven't solved it, you're not giving them a reason to stay with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And we know that younger people are relentless with how they vote. They vote with their money. Well, mm-hmm. actually, they vote with their apps. And I think we spoke about it a couple of sessions ago, where I basically said, you are also behaving like a Gen Z, because the moment you download an app on your phone and it's not doing what you expect it to do, or it's not creating a beautiful experience, you delete it and you download something else.
Yeah.
And Gen Zers do that to the max. Well, outside of TikTok, but they do that to the max. So they vote with their apps, right? And that's how you lose business. So if you can find a mechanism that you can identify the telltale signs of a smaller population, mm-hmm. immediately address it, you can take care of the rest of your population.
I couldn't agree more, because every friction point is an opportunity to be better. So your Absolutely. Customers or your members are going to tell you that big time. Why creating a single unified integrated system that removes these barriers between different functions is key in advancing credit union's digital efforts to attract younger generations? So, I think we've reiterated that big time. So how does building a digital platform allow for greater customer engagement and retention, including increasing that speed of customer onboarding, which is such a hot topic right now? So the whole onboarding issue is, again, another show in itself. But I want to get your take on this.
Yeah, I think how it will help you is basically to change your paradigm and change the way that you look at your service, at mm-hmm. your back office, and on the technology. And basically, if you start thinking like, I have a system of record, right? And I have a system, a services system, and I have a system of engagement. If you start thinking in those types of terms, mm-hmm, right, mm-hmm. then you can basically make your data accessible to everything on top of it and every interaction on top of it accessible to the workflows in the back office.
Yeah.
That should be your grounding principle. Because if you do that right, you can have one back office workflow that powers different channels, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And that removes friction. The problem arises when you have a different workflow for the branch and a different workflow for the call center and a different workflow for digital, right? And maybe even a different one for mobile and web, right?
Oh yeah.
But if you modernize that and basically say we have one workflow and there is an input layer on top of that, the system of orchestration that maps it to the system of record, that grounding principle will, and if you start applying that as you make your investments and if you do the modernization in your technology stack, you will get to that point and then it doesn't become an issue anymore. That's the beautiful thing,
yeah.
Right? Because if everything is single, yeah, you can immediately remediate any type of friction points or whatever it is. So it's on one side simplification, thinking in those three layers, mm-hmm. and just making sure that you think in a process where digital just happens to be one of the input-output mechanisms in. And the same for the branch. We have this beautiful example of a customer of ours in Vietnam, and I always kind of get passionate about these customer stories, sure. But they were losing the battle to the Chinese super apps, right? So what they did is they basically said, okay, we can't really compete with them. And we had an amazing branch network, right? But they said, like, we can't get rid of the branch network, most like American financial institutions would say, right? Mm-hmm. So the use case is roughly the same. But they basically said, okay, we're going to divert these branches into micro branches, right? And a micro branch to them was like a kiosk at an airport, a kiosk at a football stadium, a kiosk wherever it was, right? And they also put people on scooters that could actually go to the houses of their customers, right?
What?
So that was a super innovative way to say, okay, we have pressure from these super apps and we can't beat them at that game.
Yeah.
We can only meet them at their game, right? So you still need to invest in digital, and we're obviously helping them to make a fist against the WeChats and the Baidus and all those types of things.
Yeah.
But they still found a way to stay true to their mission in the community by micro kiosks. And this is where I think the difference lies. I think even millennials and older generations, it's kind of weird to say millennials as in the same thing as the older generation. I think that shift
happened. Getting there. Watch out, millennials. You're getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. But we were kind of raised in a way like, okay, if I have a problem, I fix it. I go somewhere, I talk to a human and all that type of stuff. But I think that if you want to do business with the Gen Zs, you need to meet them where they are, right? And divert some of your resources to find the locations where they are and have that micro kiosk, the micro branch type of approach,
right,
supported by digital. And then you have a channel fluidity that Gen Zers really appreciate. And platform help you with that.
Well, I mean, again, all these topics you're bringing up, Vince, they are shows unto themselves. We could talk about the Vietnam financial institution till we're blue in the face on that. I would love to take a deep dive on that one, but I know you got a job to do. But I have one more question for you to wrap up here. Can you share some tips and insights into the metrics that can be used to track for success and personalize the customer experience a bit further? Do you have any tips? I mean, I know you've already alluded to a few there, but I'd love to hear a couple more if you got them.
Yeah, and first and foremost, if any of your viewers want to spar with me on those, you can always reach out to me. Love to engage.
Love it.
But I think there are a couple of interesting things that you can do. The first thing that you can do is to basically craft a life cycle based approach to your member, right? Mm-hmm. Because I sincerely believe that what Chase and Bank of America and all these ones cannot do is understand the needs of your community applied to an individual. And let me explain what I mean by that. Sure. It sounds a little bit cryptic, but what happens when you are in the market for a mortgage, right? Typically, the first thing that you do is you go to your own financial institution, you see the rate, you're immediately discouraged, and you go shopping for rates, right?
That's so true. Yeah.
So how can you find a way to understand what type of a critical moment in the life cycle or in the life of your member is about to happen, right? And there are amazing data sources for that. And that allows you now to have a tailored offer to that member so that they don't even have to shop outside of your institution. Or even if they do, they know that your offer has been so good that they are coming back to you. Mm-hmm. Because that's the key element that fintechs are not nibbling your business away because they are that much better. No, they're nibbling away because they understand that critical moment in the life of your member and they have a better offer at that time.
Right, right.
So if you just simply start solving that piece, right? And there are a couple of things that you can do. There are amazing databases out there where you don't even have to be a rocket scientist to start to understand which part of your population may be hitting upon something life-changing or some major financial events. So that's one part of it, right? And I think the other part of it is also just to simply understand the demographics in your surface area, right? And I know that a lot of credit unions do this, but take a different approach to that data. For instance, if you know the average number of people in a household, right, and you map that to your member base, you see what you're losing, right? So instead of sending me and Navy Federal, I'm talking to you, sending me the fifth personal insurance or life insurance offer, send me something that gets my kids engaged with your brand and with your services, right? So take a different approach to what the data is telling you and leverage that differently in the marketing, because you're not going to compete me away from my current life insurance. It's too good to be true, almost. I don't even want to think about that stuff. Mm-hmm. But financial literacy for my kids, I want to think about that. Exactly. Or how can you communicate to me that the financial institution that I'm proud to be a member of is actually investing back into the community, right? Mm-hmm. So I think just taking a different look at the metrics and the data that is already there. And again, spar with me. I'm more than happy to share what I know. and just don't do the same thing that the big guys are doing, but leverage your power in the community.
Yeah. And there's already been a number of studies, and you probably know of them as well as I do, or anybody for that matter, that the younger generations are looking to not only do business, but belong to organizations that have a deeper meaning, have a deeper mission. And that's the credit union wheelhouse. You know, they go well beyond the transaction. They are out in the communities. They stand for something and things like that. So that's the what I'm thinking you're getting as, you know, hey, get that message out as well. I mean, we all know that the rates and things like that are important, but you know what? There's another important aspect to it too, and what you're doing in the community and what your mission is, what's the deeper meaning of your business. So yeah, so that's goes a long ways with, I think that's probably demographic agnostic now. I think a lot of people are looking for that. So not only the younger generations, but anybody for that matter. So I think we're looking for something a little bit deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. Every individual is looking for some form of comfort or maybe change, because change could be comfort, especially for younger generations that maybe are inheriting a situation that they're maybe not that proud of. Yeah. And there is something to say for, like, have every generation basically, you know, came along with that type of message. But what I'm saying that you have mass personalization options in the technology that is available to you, and leverage that, right? And this is always the thing, right? You can engage with a strategic advisory firm and spend a couple of million in understanding what you need to do, but you can also just listen to the people around you and just make these small steps and these small changes. But back to the reality, if you want to do that and want to remove that friction and want to profile yourself a little bit better and leverage that data, you obviously need to have a technology stack that allows you to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Going full circle, you got to have the technology to back it all up, for sure. Absolutely. Good stuff. All right, Vince, once again, you hit it out of the park. So appreciate that. Anything else to add here? I mean, I love talking to you, and I love getting, you know, your wisdom and your expertise are just wonderful and just great takeaways here. So anything else to add to wrap up on this one?
Yeah, I think what I would like to add is at Backbase specifically, you know, obviously we live by selling licenses, so let's be honest, but sure. We also live by having these types of discussions with our prospects, right? And sometimes you come to the conclusion that you can't help each other, right? For whatever reason, but just start that dialogue, right? I know that many of your listeners, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of overwhelming, you know, amount of emails and phone calls and all that type of stuff. But I would say, Pick the vendors that you're really interested in learning from, mm-hmm. and just invite them over and say, hey, we may have not something on the short-term horizon that you can make money off of, but we would love to start building a relationship, understand how you think, what is the culture of your organization, and does that then match the culture of my financial institution, and maybe we can do something in the future.
Yep.
Because if you're not getting that education to yourself, or if you're not efficient cutting through the noise, yeah, how can you lead your institution?
Agreed. Great message to end on. Vince, thank you so much, sir. Always a pleasure. Always an education and a little bit of fun as well. So we appreciate you as always.
Thank you, Mike.